Welcome to the 2022 edition of the Radio Lumi Artist Spotlight Series. These spotlights are meant to highlight Luminato artists and the work they've contributed. You'll hear them describe themselves and their art in their own voices. Coming up is Ashley T. As a young, Black, biracial, bisexual woman with type 2 bipolar disorder from Toronto, Ashley T. has coined herself as the Bifecta. She is a multidisciplinary artist who creates within the realms of visual art, literary art, and performance art. She works with diverse materials spanning from acrylic paints on canvas to ink on paper to her voice on the mic to her body on the stage. She uses art to ground and remind herself of the power she possesses to be a positive change in this world. Each piece she creates is a small chapter of her visual memoir. She is a contributing artist to Crip Collab Issue 4, a digital zine from Sticky Mangoes, now in its second edition with Luminato. You can find her work on Instagram at Bifusion Arts or through her website, bifusionarts.wixsite.com/site/portfolio. That's bifusionarts.wixsite.com/site/portfolio. These interviews were recorded before the first draft of the Crip Collab issue had been revealed by Pri Rahal, the curator and creator of the zine. You can find the zine with accompanying image descriptions on the Luminato website. You can also find spotlights from other Crip Collab contributors from this and last year on Radio Lumi through the Access Hub at luminatofestival.com/access-hub.
My name is Ashley T. My pronouns are she, her. I'm a tall, curvy Black woman with long dark hair and a kind smile. I wear glasses and you can typically find me with my hands covered in paint and paint drying underneath my nails. The painting that I submitted is called Inexplicable Maze, and it is an acrylic diptych, meaning that it's on two canvas panels. Both the canvases are washed in black, and then they have a freehand style of white lines on top that mimic a maze. I am Black biracial, I am bisexual, and I have bipolar type 2. Because of this, I have coined myself as the Bifecta, because I've decided to fully lean into my identities, especially when I was growing up. I came from this society that said I had to hide all of these things about myself and that they were undesirable. And I felt that way for a long time. And so I've just full-heartedly leaned into it, coined a nickname for myself to just be really proud of my identities. And that comes through with a lot of my artwork. Basically, unless I'm doing a commission for someone, any of my personal pieces revolve around my identities. I do a lot of Black-inspired work. I do a lot of queer-inspired work, and I do a lot of intersectional work. So with Inexplicable Maze, it's actually a reflection of not only my madness and dealing with my own mental health, but it's also talking about my mental health as a Black woman. I am multidisciplinary, so I do visual art, I do literary art, I do performance art. It all comes back to me reminding myself that I am part of the society and carving out space for that and my identities without having to push any of that aside or whitewash it in any sense. And part of my art journey has been trying to bring others along with me. So I've been doing a lot of art practice teaching, from abstract painting to arts and crafts, and giving a lot of space and platform to younger artists to express themselves. And I think that is very much a key component to my art practice. The more of us there are there, the better things can be, and the less that things like Inexplicable Maze will be a possibility. Because for Inexplicable Maze, basically, it's a piece on duality. It's a self-portrait of my bipolar disorder as a Black woman, but it's also a reflection on society's systemic barriers. The painting is basically showing my frustration trying to navigate my own mental health, but also navigating through society's arbitrary rules that, like, at first glance, they seem like something you can actually navigate through. They seem to make sense at first glance. But when you're actually part of the system, you realize that there are so many obstacles put in place that you're not allowed to win. And so it's basically the fact that the world's not meant for people like myself, people who are part of the marginalized groups, of whether it's your color or it's your sexuality or it's your disability. The world's not made for us, it's made in spite of us. And so this is a piece that reflects us having to figuratively and literally live within the margins. The more that I teach, I'm hoping the less that is a reality. I submitted this piece because I created it in 2021. Basically, it is to do with my frustrations over the way the pandemic went down in reflection to people with disabilities. For generations, we have been asking for accommodations. We have been asking to be seen. We have been asking to be heard, wanting things as simple as distanced education, of being able to take mental health days, of being able to accommodate our bodies in professional spaces, in educational spaces, in family spaces. And we were told time and time again, there's no infrastructure for it. We're not willing to build the infrastructure. There's no funding for it. You just need to get along with it and you need to try and be normal. But as soon as able-bodied and neurotypical people were like, oh no, how do I access the world? How do I navigate the world? I feel like I'm marginalized. I feel like I'm on the outside. Then all of a sudden, all of this infrastructure came out of nowhere. All of a sudden, we found all of this funding. There were issues with CERB, the fact that people on disability are supposed to live off of $700 a month and can't actually obtain any form of other income without losing their disability, without jeopardizing that. But they're supposed to just get along. But people who aren't on disability lost their jobs due to the pandemic. Of course, they need social assistance. Of course, they need help. That's what it's there for. But magically, the $2,000 mark came out of thin air saying, oh, this is what people need to live off of. But everyone with a disability was forgotten in that regard. And the fact that we magically discovered Zoom and that was put in place for our safety, for our protection, that wasn't available for us when we were going to university, when we were trying to be part of the conversation, trying to get a seat at the table, but just get a seat that accommodated us. We were always told it wasn't a thing. And so this basically is a piece that came out of self-love, but also frustration of the current climate with the ableism that was very evident with the pandemic. We were told, no, it's cut and dry. You can't have these accommodations. You have to take the onus. You have to do better. You have to try and live up to us, as opposed to us trying to live on a level playing field. I paint a lot with black just because I am trying to symbolically put my blackness out there. Because growing up, art was really white. I was told a lot of, like, you had to be a white man in order to be considered an artist. So that's kind of my little stamp of, hey, I'm here. Blackness is beautiful. And I actually don't buy black canvases. I always wash them myself with black paint because that's me putting a little more of myself into it, putting a little more effort. Yes, the lines would come out a lot cleaner if I just bought black canvas, but nothing's been handed to me. And so that's part of me just showing the effort and the struggle that I put into my work in order to even be noticed. The white on top, it's just very symbolic of oppression. When we think oppression, we do typically think about white supremacy. And whether you want to look at this as a race issue, or you want to look at it as an ableist issue, or any type of ism, using the color white, I don't think that anyone is going to disagree with it, that it is representative of oppression. because I do a lot of queer painting as well, so there's a lot of rainbow, there's a lot of bisexual flags and stuff like that, I wanted this to not be confused with any of that work. And so it was more so about reflecting on the arbitrary rules, reflecting on how they're cut and dry for everyone except for the people making the rules and how they can bend them to their own will. By putting color in this, I kind of think that it would have taken away from that message, that people would have seen it as just like a pretty collection of lines and colors. I do this style in other paintings and they do have color in them, but the meaning is very, very different. So it was a very strategic choice to do black and white, of not only showing my blackness and the intersection of navigating as a mad black woman, but also just showing the split between the black and whiteness of the world. But you mix black and white together and then you get gray and everyone's like, well, I want to live in the gray zone where things don't really matter. And I find that the gray zone only exists for those in power and when they can choose, when things aren't so cut and dry. And that's basically what the pandemic has become. The main curator and creator of Crip Collab is a wonderful individual and they are so incredibly talented. So being able to be recognized by someone like that, someone that I admire, is an honor in itself. But also being able to be part of a platform that speaks for BIPOC, neurodivergent and disabled individuals is also really, really amazing. Especially because we also have the additional intersection of being queer folk. It's being able to be part of a carved out space where we get to talk about our issues and create art in that. It basically boils down to me being super honored. I was really happy, really surprised to be part of last year's edition and even happier about this year's. I guess I'm just looking forward to more programming that's coming out. Hopefully Illuminato being able to gain more funding, more projects like Crip Collab being able to exist, and trying to gain more confidence in my art practice and continue to apply for such opportunities as this and put myself out there and put my truth and my story of my art out there.
Again, that was Ashley T. And remember, you can always find their work on Instagram at BiFusionArts or through her website, bifusionarts.wixsite.com/site/portfolio. That's bifusionarts.wixsite.com/site/portfolio. To find this spotlight and others, check out Radio Lumi, or you can find the art and more on the artist in Crip Collab, both available through the Access Hub on the Luminato website. That's luminatofestival.com/access-hub. This spotlight was produced and edited by yours truly, Dev Ramsewak, for Radio Lumi as part of Luminato 2022. Thanks for joining us.